Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24, go ahead and turn there. And there's already so many things that's happened this morning to confirm what God is saying in this message. I'm on this new series. It's called Decisions for Life. Decisions for Life. And I'm hearing words today like honor, honoring the foundations. I'm actually speaking this morning on choosing honor, because the Holy Spirit talked to Cheryl and I both very, very plainly back in December. This would be a year of choices and a year also of some key decisions. That's not a bad thing. The good thing is whenever God gives you decisions to make, it means God also has a reward for you for making the right decision. This morning is God's Word is going to talk about to us choosing honor, talking about priorities this morning as well, talking about foundations. That means that God has promises for many of you guys in this room today, for even all of us who will choose today to honor the Word of God, to honor God, to put God first. And we're going to start seeing some things to reveal some things to us spiritually, scripturally as well, about what this actually means as far as choosing honor goes in our lives. Last week, I spoke about what does God need. And we said to you guys, there's three things that God needs. Number one, God does not need anything, because God is self-sufficient, God is self-reliant, God is all in himself, all-inclusive. But number two was, God chose to need us. God laid down foundations, precepts, principles, and his word that says he chose to give this world to mankind, and he chose to do nothing on this earth unless he has a man working alongside him in partnership with him. So God chose to need us. The third question was, will you actually need God yourself? Do you need God yourself in your business, in your marriage, in your finances? Do you need God? This morning goes right along with that about needing God. Do you need God? Because if we need God, we're going to find ourselves honoring God. I heard a story this week about a man, an older guy over in Italy, kind of from a mafiosa type family. This guy had a great big old giant vegetable garden, but the problem was his son got arrested and thrown in jail. And it came time to go ahead and plant his vegetable garden. His back was so sore, his body was so old, he could not do that. So he wrote a letter to his son in prison, and he said, "Son, I know if you could be here and help me out, you'd be here digging this ground up. My back's too sore. My body's too old. I'm too frail. I'm too weak. I can't do it by myself. I know if you were here, you'd be helping me with this." And so the son got the letter, and he writes back to his dad very fast and says in the letter there, "Dad, do not be digging around in that garden. That's where the bodies are buried at." The next morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, the FBI comes out. The police come out because they got the whole letter and read the letter there. They dig up the entire plot trying to find the bodies, and they find no bodies whatsoever. A letter goes to that young man, or to that old man, the next day from his son, and it says, "Dad, I did the best I could do under the circumstances." And so that's what I call honoring your father, honoring those that are elders over you, amen, and being creative and being very, very industrious in ways to get things done. God wants us to choose honor in life. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 27, it says, "Prepare your outside work, make it fit for yourself in the field, and then afterward build your house." The Amplified Version, it's Cheryl's favorite version as well. All prophetic people love the Amplified Version. It says, "Put first things first. Prepare your work outside, then get it ready for yourself and the field, and then afterwards, then build your house and establish a home." When I hear the words "first things first," I also hear the word "priorities." That which is of first importance, that which is of urgency, those things that are actually of a highest status in us, those are things that are called priorities in our lives. At the beginning here of the year 2012, God wants us to set priorities, and the first priority must be, I will honor God's word even above things I do in this life that my own flesh wants to do that may go against what God's word really is for me. Those things we place value on are going to have first place in our lives. Amen? Amen. We need to take and come to the place to where we value God first, and also for the things of the spiritual realm around us are things that are genuine, not things that are actually fake. God wants us to serve the real God, the true God, what I call true Christianity, not religion, not things some man makes up, not things our mind makes up, not things our reasoning makes up. What is really true God, true Christianity, truly putting God first in our lives? You're going to see some things this morning from God's word that puts us also in perspective and adds some clarity, I also believe, to this. How you schedule your life reveals whether God is actually being first in your life, your schedule every single day? Do you put God first? I encourage you again, find a Bible reading pattern. I mail out almost every year a pattern I've been using now for over 30 years of my life, where I read 9 chapters of the Bible every single day. I can read about 9 chapters in 30 minutes normally. And so I've actually divided up the Old Testament, Proverbs, Psalms, half the Old Testament beyond that. I read 1 chapter New Testament, 1 chapter New Testament first half, 1 chapter second half. And I read that every single day. And I tell the folks again and again and again, by doing that, I get my meat, my potatoes, my apple pie, my cobbler, my broccoli, my spinach, and my iced tea. It all kind of all blends together there. And I always get something fresh from God's Word by using the pattern I've been using there, by getting a wide variety in the Word of God. I'm a person of variety. That's why I love to do a pastoring ministry like this, but also go overseas once in a while and just see a whole brand new culture and let God use us in those realms as well. So we love varieties, but you need to find yourself a way to read God's Word every day that is not boring, it's not lifeless, but it's actually life-giving, because you'd be amazed how God directs you, how God blesses you, how God speaks to you by reading the written Word of God, the Logos, that can become Rhema, the revealed Word of God, if you read that on a diligent basis. I appreciate what Sarah, my daughter, shared this morning here about how you take that sword and strike that oak tree. It's like reading the Bible every single day. You won't always find yourself having goosebumps and electric jolts when you read the Bible, but you're going to find yourself by doing that consistently. God rewards those who seek Him diligently, is what God says. Amen. The same thing's true of prayer. The same thing's true of praise and worship. The same thing is true of Sunday morning services just like this. I am so proud of you guys for being here this morning. This is the most prosperous nation on the face of the earth. We've got department stores, restaurants, amusement centers, and 5 million TV stations all over this entire country. Yet you choose to be here because you love God, you love God's Word, you love God's people, and you love each other in Jesus' name. Amen. So God's going to reward you this morning for being here today. Amen. Let's read now 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 6, 12. It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. Your translation may say, all things are not expedient or profitable. All things are lawful for me, what Paul says by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, but I will not be brought under the power of any of them. One translation also says the same thing in a different way. It says, just because something is technically legal does not mean that it's spiritually appropriate. That's a lot to be said right there. If I went around doing whatever I thought I could get by with, I'd be a slave to my whims, my impulses, and those sudden desires that rise up in my own soul. It's sad to say many folks today are living a life like that, that whatever the best option is at the moment, that's what my flesh and that's what I will jump on in my own power. God says you can't live by impulses. You cannot live by your emotions. You cannot live by whims and fancies or by feelings, because the just will live by faith. And faith means I believe what I sow into, that shall I reap also in due season and in due time. You may not think it's important to set priorities in your life, but if you don't set priorities in your life, you'll live by your whims, your fancies, and by circumstances and happen chance in this life. That is not what God wants for you at all. Amen? I'm going to say 3 things this morning now about choosing honor, making a choice to do that. Number one, on the screen here as well, if you're taking notes down, write these things down if you would, please, and research them later on also if you could. It says, number one, if you don't set priorities in your life, then situations will. If you don't set priorities, circumstances, situations, and happenings will set priorities for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5 verifies this, and it says, and not only as we had hoped, talks about the Corinthians who actually gave a large sacrificial gift to Paul the apostle in the ministry, and it says, but not only as we hoped, but they also were first of all gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. That's only about 15, 16 words. The Amplified Version, it says this. This gift of theirs was not merely the contribution that we expected, but first they gave themselves to the Lord and to us as His agents by the will of God, entirely disregarding their personal interests. They gave as much as they possibly could give, having put themselves at our disposal to be directed by the will of God, entirely disregarding their own personal interests. The question this morning is, have we allowed personal interest to become more valuable than God's interests and God's kingdom desires in our lives? You know, back in the olden days when I wasn't pastoring his church and I was doing full-time traveling ministry and going overseas to Africa, Asia especially, there came several years, because I'm a lover of football. I don't care who's playing in the Super Bowl in February. I want to watch them play because I love the ads and because they're playing their very best and because the best of the best are playing against each other. I always want to see the Super Bowl if I can. I remember a couple of years, the guys I worked with in Global Advance in Dallas scheduled overseas frontline shepherd leadership conferences during the Super Bowl. I had a real struggle there for a little while. Do I take this invitation and go overseas, these leaders overseas, or do I stay home and watch the Super Bowl? Well, the good news is I went overseas, because the truth also is the Pittsburgh Steelers did not die for my sins. Amen. The Green Bay Packers did not give their blood upon Calvary that I might be born again. Those guys are not going to make one hill of beans to my eternal salvation for Jesus Christ. I must put my priorities, first of all, to seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, do what God calls me to do, and let those other priorities fall by the wayside. Those things should not be priorities as far as the flesh is concerned. Now, I want to say right now that I do already have, this year's Super Bowl is already cleared out. I will watch this by faith. I will not have cedar fever. Dallas Cowboys will not be there. Congratulations to all you Texans fans who at least have gone to the second level now. They actually did win yesterday, for those who are interested in that. And we'll see who goes this year to that game. What I'm trying to say to you guys is our flesh, our whims, our soul can so easily control our priorities in this life. And I'm praying to God this entire year of 2012 again, even try to make church attendance a new priority in your life if it's somewhere down there in second, third, or fourth place. Your family does matter. Your health does matter. Your sleep does matter. But I'm saying go to bed sometimes before 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday nights. Amen? Don't watch that dumb TV show that's going to keep you up till 3 in the morning. Okay? Get your TiVo. Believe God for TiVo. Okay? And record the thing. Watch the thing on Sunday, on your time, on Monday. Watch it during work, okay, on their time. Don't watch it during church time. Don't lose your sleep, okay, what I'm trying to say here. Because to me, church is a priority. Even back when I was working 4 jobs at one time, when I first moved to Austin, Texas, we very rarely missed any services at Shoreline Christian Center, which back then was called Christian Faith Center, I believe. And because we know that God speaks to you in services like this. God does good things in you, but also God does good things through you. These folks need you to be here. They need your smile. They need your love. They need your angel you bring in this place. They need your anointing. They need your gifting. They need you to be here among us. You are needed in this place in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not all about us. It's all about Him. It's all about each other by the power of God. Amen. So moving on here. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 12. 1 Timothy 5:12 says, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. What this simply means to us is wrong priorities will always result in things not working right in our lives. When God is not first in our lives in our new year, things will just kind of start falling apart in almost every area of our lives. Again, people have mentioned to me that 2011 was a time of storms, and it was. Some bad things took place. There's some good people there again. But the Bible says, count it all joy because the trying of your faith produces. And God produces things for you by the trying of your faith. Don't always think it's the devil. It's not always demons causing bad things to come your way. Sometimes God will allow pressure in your life in some certain areas there because God wants to tweak those areas. God wants to breathe on those areas. And God wants to strengthen those areas to become a strength for you to bless somebody else in the year 2012 as well. Amen? So if love is your motive, then honor must be your objective. If love is your motive, then the honor must be your objective in this life. To honor God is to say that His word carries more weight than any other influence in your life. Because the word honor in the Greek language actually means to carry weight. Does His word carry weight? Is it a burden in your life? And that's the question that you must ask yourself in an honest way. The question also is, Are you allowing God's word to weigh in the decisions you make, in the actions you take, and in the words you actually speak? Before you speak things, before you act on things, before you decide things, does God's word come first to weigh in on those decisions you make in this life? I really, again, have heard God so clearly say to me in 2012, there'll be some key decisions God brings before the body of Christ individually, but also corporately there. And God says you must weigh in on the word of God first, and God will always, I believe, easily make his word known to you, and his will is not difficult to find out. Amen? Number two here, those who honor God will be honored. Those who honor God will be honored. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. This is Eli, the man of God, the priest of God back in the Old Testament. The Bible says his sons are evil. His sons have no regard for God, no honor for God, no respect for God. They're eating the sacrifices. They're sleeping with prostitutes. They're doing all kinds of vile, carnal things in front of all the people of Israel. And Eli has raised these boys. And now the prophet, the man of God, comes to Eli and begins to prophesy to him in 1 Samuel chapter 2 before he sets in Samuel as a prophet of Israel. Verse 30, and it says here on the screen also, therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father will walk before me forevermore. This kind of shows here how prophecy is conditional, because it says here, you were prophesied to that your house, your kids will all walk before me forever. Then it goes on and says, but now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me, they shall be lightly esteemed. So God here says, I said one thing here in prophecy here, that's my perfect will for your life, but because you guys have disobeyed me, have dishonored me, and esteemed me in a very, very vile way, you shall also now be esteemed lightly in your lives. God's looking for people to honor people who say that God's word is weight, and what God says goes in my life. Your word I will seek, your will I will seek after, and whatever you say to me, O God, your word has weight, has honor in me, and I will obey the things you say to me in this life. How do you despise God? How do you despise God, the Lord himself? Well, the answer there is, when his word carries no weight, when his word has no priority for you in your life, you're actually despising God in your heart. Ask yourself this morning here, does God's word again carry first place of all the words I hear, of all the counsel I listen to? Does God's word carry first place in my life? The other question also this morning is, how do we know we're receiving honor from God if we honor God ourselves? When I honor him, how do I know that God is now honoring me and bringing blessings or bringing some increase to my life by doing that? Well, the answer now all to that is found in John chapter 5, verse 44. And it says, how can you believe who receive honor from each other, but you do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? So it says here in John 5, 44, there is an honor, a reward that comes to those who honor God. What is that reward? Well, the honor that comes from God is a thing that's called the blessing. And all of us have heard about, I am blessed, you are blessed, we are blessed, and we all want the blessing that comes from God. Amen? But we got to realize the blessing has been sometimes, or most of the time, actually, I think, misdefined by the body of Christ, because the blessing is not cars, it is not houses, it is not a job, it is not your finances in your bank account. These are all results from the blessing. Amen? How many folks know that the wind chimes going off, And the rushing of the leaves in autumn, and also the moving of trees and leaves and flowers and so forth, that is not the wind, that is the result of the wind. And so the blessing, the result of blessing, may bring to you cars and houses and things and stuff, but the blessing is actually God empowering you and God giving you his abilities beyond your own natural abilities. How many folks want that in your lives? You want God's ability. You want God's super hooked on to your natural, that God may bring to you a supernatural thing every day you live on the earth. It brings favor. It brings wisdom. It brings increase. It brings divine appointments. It brings divine coincidences. God's blessings gives you divine abilities far beyond cars, houses, and things and stuff. We need that blessing on us. Those who honor God, God will honor them by bringing the blessing into their lives. That's why the prophet David, King David says, Father God, do not take your spirit from me, which is the blessing, your presence, your abilities upon my life. Don't take that from me, please, at all. God wants to give us what's called sweatless victories in our lives. I believe in 2012, God has really stored up for us sweatless victories this year. He wants to give them to us. He desires to break those things upon us, but he says, you must honor my word, honor my kingdom, and set me as a priority first, because when you do that, I will then take what you sow, and you will reap then honor back to yourself in the year 2012. That's what I hear God saying to us. I want to revisit now, if I could, Genesis chapter 27. Those who came here Wednesday night in great numbers, I appreciate all you guys that came Wednesday for the first teaching I gave on going deeper in God. I think it was a good first beginning on that teaching as well. I mentioned there the guys whose names are Jacob and Esau, how Isaac took those two sons, and we all know the story about how Jacob actually deceived his own father and received the blessing instead of his own brother, whose name was Esau. The name Jacob actually means supplanter. It means deceiver. And so he used deception. He used things of an easy nature himself to get the blessing from his own brother, whose name was Esau. And so now that Esau has lost that blessing of the firstborn that Jacob actually received, Isaac now gives him a prophecy in Genesis 27, verse 39 and 40. And it says here, then Isaac, his father, answered Esau, and he said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth, of the dew of heaven from above. Those are all blessings. Those are all good things. Those are things that all Christians and believers want to seek and want to see take place in their lives. Amen. But then it kind of shifts here and says, but by your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother, and it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck. Now, this is all a lot to be said right here again, but what takes place here is he prophesies to him fatness, greatness in the land, stuff, merchandise, increase, and so forth. But he says, you shall also be a servant to your own brother. It's very, very confusing here, because if you go on in your Bible sometime and read chapter 33, six chapters forward in Genesis, you'll find that Jacob runs from Esau because Esau's going to kill him. And when he comes back to Esau, Esau has now got all kinds of herds and crops and servants. He's got 400 men working for him. He's full of riches, full of gold, full of silver, and full of abundance. And so Jacob comes back to him, and the question is, how in the world can a rich man like Esau be prophesied to say, you shall serve your brother? Because nowhere in the Bible do you find Esau under the slavery of Jacob. Well, the answer is in the next verse, Genesis 27, verse 41. It says, verse 41, and so Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are coming to an end, or coming at hand. Then I will kill my brother, whose name is Jacob. That's how Esau was under the slavery of Jacob. It was a thing called unforgiveness, hatred, anger, and murder. You shall come under the slavery of your own brother is what God's saying. There's many folks in the body of Christ that have learned how to confess God's word, the tithes, the offerings, sowing, reaping. They have all the good stuff and things that God can give them in this temporal world on the earth, but their hearts are full of anger, full of bitterness, and full of things of strife, and sometimes even hatred and murder might even still be in their hearts. And it goes on now, and it says here, the key to the yoke being broken off of Esau's neck is given to us in 33, verse 4 of Genesis. Let's see what it says. When was the yoke finally broken from the neck that was prophesied would be broken by his father Isaac? 33:4 says this, but Esau, when he sees Jacob coming back, He ran to meet him. He embraced him. He fell on his neck and he kissed him, and they began to weep and cry together. Now, where do you see that same kind of a scenario? The prodigal son with Jesus Christ, New Testament. This is a sign of repentance. It means that Esau no longer hates his brother, didn't want to kill his brother. He now has forgiven his brother. He holds his neck, embraces him, kisses him, and they weep and cry together about all the lost time they've had apart from each other. And I'm saying in the year 2012, that may be something to take to heart yourself today. Is there anybody you're carrying into 2012 from 2011 who offended you, who did you wrong, did you dirty, you'd like to see them somehow just kind of wiped off the face of the earth? God says, don't let that yoke stay on you this year of 2012. May that yoke be broken off of you in Jesus' name, because God's not about just increase of your cars and things and stuff and jobs. God wants a heart that honors him, honors his word, and honors people around you by his grace. Do you catch that? Can you see that story there coming to life today as well? The yoke was broken off Esau when he embraced his brother, repented there. Dr. Flint said, and we're going on a Biggest Loser thing right now where I work at. We're kind of going to a thing called repentance. That word is so strong in my heart right now, because it says here that whenever Isaac prophesied to Jacob and said, when you become, or to Esau, he says, when you become restless, that yoke will be broken off your life. That word restless in the Hebrew language means when you repent, I shall release to you dominion and power and also a exaltation when you repent and get your heart right with me. The yoke shall be broken, says the Lord. These guys are restless here in the doctor's office about their weight, perhaps, their eating habits and exercise. But God says you must realize God's going to make you restless about unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, bad habits, addictions, wrong relationships. You'll be restless from those things for the good. That yoke be broken off your neck, off your shoulders in 2012. The number for government, it shall be broken off your shoulders in Jesus' name this year, if you'll let God do that. Amen. Let's believe God even today for yokes to be broken by God's grace. It's time for believers to live a life where God is honored in a way that people can see you at your workplace and say, this is a different person in my presence. If you're just like those who you work at that are in darkness, there's something wrong in your life. If God's honored in your life, you'll be salt and you will be light every place you go, even grocery stores, even places of malls and shopping, even places of vacation. You're going to find yourself being salt and light there if you honor God and put God first in your life. Number three, honor brings a reward. I really again believe today prophetically that God is saying to us, if we're going to have ears to hear, if you'll put God first and honor his word and make his word weighty in your life, he will always reward those people who do that in their lives. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 here. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father, honor your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise attached to it. The promise is that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. How do we honor our parents? It's not just by giving your parents, your mother and father, we understand, shirts and neckties, dresses and perfume and flowers on Mother's Day and Father's Day. You also honor your parents primarily by listening to what they say, letting them speak into your lives as an authority over your lives as well. Amen? All parents hopefully are saying amen to that, because we want our youth, our teens, to be able to have an ear to hear what we say by our life's experiences, so they won't go through the same hard knocks in life that we went through in the time we were knotheads back in our teenage years upon the earth. Amen? You know, my wife and I, again, we have three kids right now. Y'all know that. And they're all in their early 20s to 29 years of age. And fortunately, these guys have listened to us many, many times to make some good decisions there, because of things we did ourselves of bad mistakes in the past. Now, we've learned, again, that many kids that are in their teenage years especially don't want their parents to control them. They're saying, when I bring this young man back to the house to date him, don't be telling me that he's not the kind of guy I should be dating or try to marry. You're trying to control me. It's a new time, new era. What worked for you will not work for me. That's where you want to take your child and somehow brainwash their head somehow and say, knock some sense in and say, listen here, I can see some things sometimes, the spiritual realm. And I heard a very good story last night from somebody. They said that if you have a daughter that brings a guy home, that you can kind of discern very, very fast, probably the wrong guy for her. And she says, just kind of mind your business. I don't care about what he wears, what he smells like, what he dresses like, what he acts like. I love the guy. I like the guy. That's all that matters. You say, well, okay, honey, I want you to be happy and have a good life and just enjoy yourself. So you go out there and have a good time. It'll be okay somehow by faith. The question is, if you had a $400,000 automobile, would you let that young man drive that car? Could he drive that car? The same guy that you see is, looks like reckless, looks like he's disheveled, looks like he's all out of shape and all out of sorts. Well, why in the world is your $5 million daughter going out with a guy that can't drive your $400,000 car? Okay? I don't get the correlation there. So I'm saying you guys again, let's be praying to God to give us some discernment, some backbone, and some wisdom there to talk to our kids in love and say, Father God, may they honor the parents as we honor you ourselves in our lives. And I pray to God that this year in 2012, our kids are going to make some good decisions by wise parents in this congregation. You know, it's getting more and more chronic, it seems like, in America to find godly spouses for our kids. And find people that are really sold out to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But I'm telling you again, it only takes one, okay? It only takes one. So the main thing is God can orchestrate things in people's lives. If God got me married to a woman like this, there's hope for all people on the face of the earth. Amen? Amen. And I'm saying that he may bring them over here from 15,000 miles away, but God will somehow, some way, bring wives, bring husbands, bring educations, bring jobs to people who honor God and honor His Word first in their lives. Amen? So if God's Word carries weight in your life and you carried it out, then when you pray, your words will then carry weight in heaven and God will carry those out. I'm going to say that again. If God's word carries weight in your life and you carry out what God's word is, then your words will then carry weight in God's kingdom and God will then carry out your prayers and your words and answer those things you voice to Him upon the earth. It's a law of sowing and reaping. You honor God, you honor His word, then God honors your word and God answers prayer on your behalf time and time and time again. The key to things working out in our lives hinges on our decision to put God first and to honor Him in our lives. Now that we're going into the year 2012, hopefully all of us in this room today are born-again believers in Jesus Christ. You're 1 year closer now to seeing Jesus face to face. You're 1 year closer now to a glorified body in Jesus' name. You're still praising God, worshiping God. I'm saying don't give up. Don't go backwards. Put priorities in your lives and say, I will seek first still your kingdom, O God. I'll restore that first love, O God, back in my heart by your grace, by your power, by your spirit. I will not go backwards. I will go forward this year in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm saying that God's the God of even of the alphabet. I was thinking about some things this morning here about even people that work secular jobs here. I'm going to try to launch out into this thing by faith and see if I can kind of carry this out. But I'm saying to the architect, God is the divine builder. To the bus driver, God is the way, the truth, and the life. To the person who has your construction worker, He is a divine carpenter who makes their building place come together. To the dentist, He is the root of Jacob, and He's the root of Jesse that brings forth to us life and health and peace in this life. To the electrician, He is the power of God that brings forth divine enablement, but only God can do. To the fisherman, God is that divine net through Jesus Christ. He puts that net out and brings back the harvest as only He can do. To the geologist, God is that divine rock that was cut out from the stone. The builders reject that stone. He's now been made the capstone, the highest stone that exists on the face of the earth. To the hairdresser, He's a God who says, I have every hair on your head numbered. And I know you by name is what God is saying to us. To the intern, God is a counselor, the teacher, the one who guides us by His own spirit. To the journalist, God's a divine author and finisher of our faith. Letters written on our hearts in Jesus' name by His word and by His spirit. To the kings, He is King of kings. To the lords, He is Lord of lords. The next letter is a letter M. That's your turn now. No, it's Lord of Lords, King of Kings, K-L. Now it's M. Does anybody have an M out there? To the mechanic, He is the Yes, he is a restorer of the breach. He is a builder up of clunkers. He turns junk into something good. He brings beauty out of ashes in Jesus' name. You can go on to N-O-P-Q-R. God is all things, everything, all the time to us. He is more than enough. Those who put him first in this life, because God is big, God is good, God is real, God is for us. When priorities take place in your life, God shows himself as a rewarder to those who seek him diligently in this life. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So when God is first, nothing is able to defeat you or bring you down in this life. No matter what the devil or the world or the economy throws at you in 2012, if God is first, he always has a plan to give you strength, anointing, grace, and even fruitfulness in times of apparent reversal in your lives on this short life we live on this earth. This is a year of possessing, of sweatless victories, of God giving to us things he's promised us and stored up for us in times gone by. As James comes back to the platform now, please, James, I want to say here in closing that Jacob honored Esau by his gifts. Whenever Jacob saw Esau, he gave him all these flocks and herds and gold and silver. All these things were gifts to honor Esau, to pay a bribe perhaps, out of fear perhaps, but the main thing is he's trying to honor his own brother. Then the Bible goes on and says, when Jacob finally settles in the land, because Esau gives him land to settle on, it says the first thing Jacob did was built an altar to the Lord. And why is that? That he might say by the altar, you are my authority. I need to hear your voice. I need to walk with you, God. I need to commune with you, Lord. I want this altar built here to be a place where you and I can talk together and I can make divine decisions and make you the priority of my life. Building an altar to God is the first thing he did. Now, whenever Jacob did this, the Bible says God began to bless him with more crops, more herds, more money, more workers, more servants. All the stuff began to increase all around him. The good news was there's four things I saw also that God gave to Jacob that did not come to Esau because of the blessing in his life. Chapter 35 talks about these four things. Number one is in verse 3. God answered him in his distress. How many folks need God to answer you in your distress? Whenever bad things take place to good people, I want God to be there in my time of distress. Jacob had that. Verse 5. God caused his enemies to fear him. That means all his enemies left him alone. Praise God. Some folks don't like you. Some folks actually may even hate you, but God can cause him to leave you alone in Jesus' name. Yes. Number 3, God changed Jacob's name, supplanter and deceiver, to Israel. Israel means prince of God, he who rules with the Lord. God will change your identity. God will change your heart. God will change your very ministry if he's first in your life, unlike Esau. Then verse 11, a nation and a company of nations came from Jacob, and kings also came from his body for generations to come. Every human being wants a legacy left behind them. You know, Cheryl says sometimes, she gets freaked out thinking about how people die around her. Her grandmother dies, her mother dies, her father dies. People are here, they eat, live, move, and then they die. The good news is when you die as a believer in Jesus Christ, you do not really die except in your body. Your spirit man lives forever. But beyond that also, your work and legacy keeps right on bearing fruit even from the grave. When Billy Graham dies, his sons and daughters keep right on going for Jesus Christ. His disciples, his books, his CDs keep right on preaching right from the grave. When John Osteen died, his work kept right on going in Jesus' name. His son Joel now has caused that church to multiply 10 times over. His books, his CDs, teachings keep right on going out all over the earth, even to this day. When your body dies, you don't die. If God put his seed inside of you, if you honored God, your life will live on and on beyond the grave upon this earth. Amen? That's a promise of Jacob. Let's bow our head right now, close our eyes now for a moment. I'm going to pray because the first thing that must be done first today, this morning, on this first Sunday of some of you folks' church life, January the 8th, 2012, I want you to ask yourself with the Holy Spirit's help honestly, is God, is Jesus, is the Holy Spirit, is the Word of God first being honored in your life? Is it weighty? Do you run to that first of all for answers and solutions? And even above that, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Or is your heart really even right with God today? Maybe those that are here this morning whose lives are not, hearts are not really as on fire, not really as zealous, not really as sold out to God as they were perhaps in times past. The good news is this is a day of new beginnings. And God is always here in services like this as well, in a corporate gathering, desiring for people to come to Him with open arms, a smile on His face, a ring in His hand, to put that ring back on us again that says, I am in covenant with you. I won't leave you nor forsake you. And those that are heavy laden, the Bible says, God will give rest to them in their soul, their heart, if they'll come back to Him. Well, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed this morning. Would you be honest today? Let me know by a raised hand. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you want to be prayed for today to accept Him in your heart, or perhaps your heart is not really right with God today. You don't want to leave this place this morning without knowing your heart is right with Him. Would you raise your hand right now for a moment? Anybody like that in this entire congregation, to be honest today? Anybody else? Anybody else? Just be honest. We're here not to condemn, judge, or come against you. We're here to bless. We're here to pray. We're here to see God do a good work in your life and heart. I'm going to pray for this one whose hand is raised up right now. Father, I thank you, O God, that you are the one that brings life and truth and strength. That you're the God, O Lord, that cleanses, heals, and forgives. But you're also the God that shows us that you're a Father that will sit closer to us than any brother will. I praise you, God, this one whose hand is raised up, that you're giving forth to him your truth, O God, and giving forth to him, Lord, a deeper revelation that you are with him, Father God, that he does not lose his salvation easily. But that salvation, Father God, is something that's been secured by your word, by your blood, and by your spirit inside of his life. I just pray for confirmation, Father, and I praise you, God, for understanding that you, O God, are for him, not against him. The cleansing has taken place. As he calls upon your name, you wash, you cleanse, you forgive. And I praise you, God, for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to just stop right now for a moment as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed right now, a moment longer. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to stop for a moment. You know, the Spirit of God wants to speak in a way that I believe is prophetic. It gives us real direction here for the very close of this service here about honoring the Word of God. Now, Father God, just reveal that to us right now. I thank you, God. I praise you. I praise you, Lord. I bless you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you, God. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, oh God. Yes, Lord. I'm just getting back to the same thing coming to me today that's come in the past few weeks, and that is, if you will take and cry out to God for a fresh hunger and a fresh thirst for the Word of God, for the Bible, for His Spirit, for His presence. God says those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be then filled again and again. And I said last week that we do the natural thing first. We lay hands on the sick, then God does the supernatural, and they shall recover.